Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Not the time, love. I'm busy. Fuck off.
Who asked you? Listen, are you ready for another edition of the Erotic Mind Show? Well, get the hell out of the way if you're not. As you probably know, this is the series where we chat with ingenious erotic artists of every stripe from all over the freaking world. And all of these conversations revolve around one simple principle: uncovering something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form.
So did I not just tell you to fuck off and yet you're still here?
Well, I want to tell you something really important. Today, my guest is the oh-so-charming and ever-so-talented artist and illustrator, Alexander. But you know what? First of all, we have to slip on our traveling shoes because we have to take a little field trip. Today's destination is Liverpool, England, where we will meet our young guest in his natural habitat. You know what? I'll bet he's shirtless and wearing tight jeans.
Where do you think you are? In some fucking Regency costume drama?
Well, maybe. And you know what? As a bonus, Alexander has generously compiled a tantalizing slideshow of some of his outstanding artwork. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Alexander invites you to visit him on his website, twinkietunes.com, and look for him on Facebook and Twitter too. You'll find all of these links in today's podcast posting. Today's show is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack.
Does that not fit within your purview, Marie Antoinette? Well, listen, why don't you just scuttle off back to fucking Cranford and play around with your tea and your cakes and your fucking horse cocks?
I'm not even going to go there. You know, for those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It is phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And remember, if you make your purchase by clicking on the Fleshjack banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com, a portion of that sale will come back to us as support for these shows. Hey, now you can help underwrite this important sex-positive effort and squeeze one out at the same time. How swell is that? Okay, on with the show. Alexander, and thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled that we are able to make this time to be together. I love your brilliant artwork, and I am so happy that you are here to share your erotic mind with us. Would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Okay, hello to all the nice people out there.
that was good. And I can guarantee you that there's a bunch of big fat perverts in our audience too, so would you like to say hello to them as well?
Okay, well then, here's a big fat, throbbing, hard, wet hello to all the perverts out there.
Yay! I
hope they liked that.
I certainly did, and I include myself in that category, so there you go.
Very good.
I confess I've been overdosing on you lately. I've been spending a load of time on your site, twinkietunes.com, and I've completely immersed myself in your Ride Hard comic. That sounds really dirty, huh?
Completely unintentional, of course.
Of course, right, exactly. Frasier over at Class Comics sent me a copy of your book for me to revel in, and revel I did. Holy cow, good thing that thing isn't in 3D. You would have put my eye out, if you know what I mean.
Well, I did think it might have been an idea to laminate some copies.
Yes, you're really good thinking. Yeah. Good thinking, because the pages would stick together otherwise, don't you know?
Exactly.
And just so you know, I read it for the literary merit, and I didn't even look at the pictures.
Well, I'm impressed. No looking at the pictures at all.
No. No, good Lord.
Very.
Yeah, it took me my great capacity to keep custody of the eyes, as we say, when I was in the church. Anyhow, so you're such a talented fellow. How do you stand yourself?
I don't know. Do I stand myself? I don't know. No. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, good.
No, it's always nice. Always very, very, very nice to hear that people like what I do.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I'm very flattered. Thank you.
And I understand that Reidhard, your comic, mm-hmm. is a labor of love that took you 10 years to produce. Can you tell us why it took so long?
Yeah, it was 10 years in the making in one form or another. It wasn't the finished product that's available to buy now is completely different to what I initially came up with 10 years.
Is that right?
I mean, I sort of first came up, well, I sort of always knew I wanted to do a story about a spy, an erotic story about a gay spy. And it started off with just the character. No name, just the character, and it sort of just developed from there, really, and into what it's become today. A lot of reasons for why it's taken basically 10 years to get to where we are now, but yeah, it's only within the sort of past 2 or 3 years it's really become what it is.
Right. So it wasn't that you draw really, really, really slow.
No.
No, it would take me 10 years to do something like that. That I understand. Holy cow. So can you walk us through the story a bit?
Yeah, definitely. So where should we start? Well, Reidhard introduces us to the character of Alex Reidhard, who is a very hot and very hunky young man, who becomes a secret agent for the British
just
government.
Like you, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Funny that.
Quite a cool. And where is it? Yeah. Well, the story begins. We are introduced to Alex, and he's already been captured by the dastardly villain Dr. Voyeur, who has a very handy extendable X-ray vision monocle. Very
that was very
indeed.
Clever. That was very clever.
And he puts it to some good use.
And he has a sidekick, Mr. Crankshaft, who I absolutely love. Holy cow.
And Mr. Crankshaft has an even better
appendage,
shall we say, yes, which he puts to some fantastic use on Alex. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everybody in our audience is already drooling, don't you know?
I just hope I'm not giving any spoilers away here.
Oh, right,
but let's
exactly.
let's just say that Alex gets orally drugged with right. truth serum, shall we? Yes.
Uh-huh.
By Mr. Crankshaft's fantastic appendage. And we learn about Alex's background, about how he became the spy, and then of course, he has to escape his current predicament and save the world.
Right, 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 right.
Have a fantastic time doing it as well.
And he has a secret boyfriend named Styles, who's a doll baby.
He does,
I might add.
He's someone he's always wanted to be with.
I see. Very cool.
But we have to wait to find out until the end of the issue
if he does actually consummate it or not. Don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes love, as we know, is unrequited.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So several of the artists who have preceded you on this show do both kinds of comics, ones with words and ones without. Do you do both kinds? And if so, do you have a preference?
I've never done a comic without words. But I do a lot of sort of pin-ups, single images.
I see,
sort
right.
of standalone images. And I guess in a way they do kind of, well, some of them tell a story without words,
mm-hmm.
in a way. But not, I've never actually done a full-length story without words.
I see.
I don't think I have a preference, but...
Do you like telling stories? I mean, you're a great storyteller, I think.
I do, yes, definitely. I think a very good story, as well as having the picture to accompany it, is important for me, definitely. I think it can help to sort of, I don't know, just immerse you into the fantasy world a bit more.
Right. You know, one of your colleagues over at Class Comics, David Cantero, who's a Spaniard, lives in Spain. He and I have collaborated on one children's story so far, and we're working on a second. And I wrote the children's story. I obviously didn't illustrate it, but he did. And my first story was, you know, it's kind of a charming little story, and but his illustrations absolutely made it a world above what I had originally produced. So, a nice story is lovely, but fabulous illustrations really make the thing sing, seems mm-hmm. to me. So, and we're working on a second one together, and I expect, you know, David will outdo himself again, so I'm really delighted.
Mm-hmm. I think it's always nice as well, if you are just, say, the writer, to see what you've written have a vision and be brought to life by
right.
by someone as well.
Mm. Is this all of your own work, or do you collaborate with people on stories, for example? Some of my previous guests have done that, so I won.
Well, actually, so far, it's all been me.
Uh-huh.
No collaborations at the moment, but I wouldn't rule any out
right.
whatsoever. No, definitely.
Good. Mm. So after looking at your work, it's pretty clear to me that you're capable of creating many different body types when you illustrate. Your work features men of different ages and ethnicities, too. Does this reflect your sexual interests?
Not so much, I don't think. No, I mean, I don't have a specific type mm-hmm. as such, but... I wouldn't say that the people I draw reflect the types that I go for either.
I see. Yeah. So you, in order to serve the story, you have to be this versatile in terms of creating the characters, I'm guessing.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, if I had to draw something that I felt the story really needed, even though I didn't find it particularly erotic myself, I would still do it.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have favorites in terms of the characters that you draw? I mean, obviously, a lot of your characters, both on your website and in Ride Hard, are young people, very buff. Hairless, mind you, except on their head, and that seems to be very popular in porn these days too.
It does, and I think, I don't know if this was intentional or I did it subconsciously or what, but I think I probably started drawing them quite hairless because of that. Because
is
now,
that right? Because
yeah,
you're a
because
porn
now
addict,
I don't
basically.
Yeah, I am.
The long and the short of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, who knew I could embarrass you?
Anymore, actually. Most of my characters now are... they have hair. But yeah, I think it's interesting you say that because somebody mentioned it to me a while back and uh-huh. I started to look at some of the drawings I'd done, and I thought, oh yeah, none of them have hair.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, a lot of porn stars at the time, they didn't hide, and they're always shaving. And I thought, well, it just seemed natural, but yeah,
but now we know that it's completely unnatural. I love it. So your comics are pretty meaty, and not just in the image department. Your stories are equally involved, and that's purposeful, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, it is, yeah. Especially with Riot Hard, definitely for me, the thing that was really going to be the strong point of that was the story. Of course, the sex was going to be really hot as well,
yes.
But I wanted the story to fall back onto every time, so
right.
But with a really, really solid story,
mm-hmm.
it could sort of immerse the reader into the fantasy
right.
of the story, and then hopefully from that, the sex would sort of flow on naturally, sort of evolve naturally with the story,
yeah.
rather
or
than
unnaturally as the case.
Yeah. But I was quite conscious. I didn't really want it to feel like that. Any sort of sex scenes had been like shoehorned into
right.
the story,
right.
and sort of take you out of it.
Right.
I just wanted it to be like one, like basically like you were reading a movie.
Right.
As best as I could.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what comes first, the story or the images?
The story does come first,
uh-huh.
but I do kind of have ideas that spring to my mind, visual ideas that spring to my mind as well, that I think to myself, well, I definitely have to get these in,
mm-hmm.
because obviously it's a visual medium, so
right.
it needs to have good, strong images.
Right. And
but
boy, do you ever. But
well,
I do try to,
although, because, I mean, with the Riot Hard comic, it's sort of grounded in a vague reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far-fetched, I don't think.
I don't know where you live.
All the time. Yeah. I can't walk down the street without seeing a man with, you know, truth serum attached to his appendage. But
yes, neither not. It happens all the time here in Seattle. So, there you go. Good for you. Tell us how you settled on the idea of an international spy as your main character, as opposed to, you know, cowboys and Indians or, you know, space invaders. I don't know. How did you figure on that?
Well, I think I'm always drawn to situations that can be sort of based in a vague reality.
I see.
Just because I think that, well, this is how I personally feel, that it can be more relatable and therefore possibly more erotic,
yes.
if you can relate to those situations. Yeah. But at the same time, I do like a bit of fantasy as well. So I sort of, it came quite naturally, the idea to me that I wanted to do a spy story, because on the one hand, you can have sort of a realistic setting, realistic places and locations and people,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it can have a bit of a fantasy element to it as well.
Well, that's, you know, the popularity, it seems to me, of that whole genre.
Mm.
I mean, everything from James Bond, you know, to
exactly,
Jason
yeah.
Bourne, it just, it's that thing that, you know, we can immerse ourselves in, but, you know, I mean, it's just virtually impossible to imagine that it's, you know, a real kind of thing, but, you know, it's so close to being real because it uses real people in real situations. It's kind
mm-hmm.
of amazing. Very cool.
Yeah. And especially, as you mentioned, James Bond as well, very famous for his lovers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Agent Reinhardt is like a gay James Bond.
Yeah, like a young hotter James.
Yes. Heavier hung James Bond, don't you know?
Oh, definitely.
Don't you know? Oily gal.
He's got a much bigger secret weapon. Well, I would imagine. I've never seen James Bond.
Well, that's true. And you'd have to line them all up because there's been several James Bonds. There you have it.
So, now, there's a story.
There is a story.
Alex Reinhardt.
There you go. So how much of your storytelling is autobiographical? That's what we really want to know. And is Agent Reinhardt really Alexander? The Great, mind you.
Well, you see, I could tell you that I am actually Alex Reinhardt, and I do work for a British government, but then I'd have to kill you.
Yes. Well, then don't tell me that. Whatever you do. I'm so glad I'm on the other side of the world from you, because holy cow. Of course, you could be here in a nanosecond, you know, with all your technology, so
there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, how do you know I'm not already there?
Na-na-na-na-na. You're beginning to scare me. You are being published by Class Comics, right?
Yes,
and
Class Comics.
So that must be a stroke. Sure beats the days when self-publishing was the only option for erotic comic book makers.
Yeah, I mean, Class Comics are just, they're amazing.
Absolutely.
They're fantastic.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they really are.
Amazing.
And they work so hard. I'm amazed myself at how much they're able to produce within a year themselves. They're fantastic.
I mean, I don't know when they find time to touch themselves impurely. They're working so hard. Right? I mean,
I'm sure they don't. No.
Well, maybe they
don't.
Sure
they're busy.
Maybe they're monks. Oh, except that we know that monks touch themselves impurely a lot, so maybe they're not monks. I don't know.
Everybody, yeah.
There you go. All that crazy stuff going on in the UK. What's that cardinal? Holy cow.
I tend not to.
You could do another comment about religious life. That would be fun. Hunky cardinals and mean hunky cardinals. Well, anyhow. There you go. I guess that having someone working so hard on your behalf in terms of publishing and promotional kinds of stuff, which Class Comics is really genius at, I guess that means you have more free time for being creative without having to worry about self-promotion?
I mean, the Class Comics, they do a lot. They literally do everything. Mm-hmm. So I am so grateful for all the promotion they do and everything like that. It does, I guess, it leaves us more time to be creative.
Mm-hmm. So what are you working on now, or where do you go? And then tell us how the stuff on your website, Twinkie Toons, is different from the stuff that you're doing, that you did for Reinhardt.
All right. What I'm doing on Twinkie Toons is, well, it's just what it is, what it says on the tin, basically. It's just
cleverly, yeah. Not disguised all that much.
Yeah. It's a mixture of things. There is a comic in there, a comic book. It's an ongoing story. And it just features some twinks. One twink in particular who's finding his way in the porn industry, so therefore it lends itself to a lot of sex. A lot of sex.
Yes, over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
It's like a chore for him. No, he loves it. And there's pin-ups, wallpapers. It's actually, I'm so lucky to have this. It's really just a big showcase for all my work at the moment.
Not just your talent, but, you know, your sexual energy. Because I'm guessing, you know, we're going to talk about this more in a bit, but I'm guessing that, you know, you put a bunch of yourself in there. I mean, it takes some kind of erotic tension in the artist for the artist to produce this. I'm guessing, at least that's what other people have said to me.
First, I'll say, yeah, there's definitely a lot of me in the drawings, mm-hmm. in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of myself will come out into them. I think it's quite inevitable. It just
yes,
sort of
how
happens.
Could it not?
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay, so before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about something really interesting. Let's talk about you. Can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself, where you were born and raised and schooled, and do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Do you have a husband, a partner, a pet? That sort of thing.
Okay. Right. Well, I was born here in England, in a very small town on the East Coast. Yeah. Very small, very boring. Yeah. Nothing ever happens there. But I don't live there anymore. Now I live in Liverpool, which is a big city on the West Coast, home of the Beatles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's much nicer, bigger, lots to do. Yeah. And I live here with my partner, who I've been with for nearly 7 years now.
Get out!
Uh-huh.
I just thought you were about 15 or 16 years old, so that would be half of your life.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I were that. Actually, no. No, that's too young. Maybe just a little bit older.
Oh, I see. Alrighty then.
So, yeah, nearly 7 years now.
Holy cow. And they said it wouldn't last.
No,
does he appear in your comics?
Sort of.
I see.
But not as a character.
Oh,
no.
Is that right? Interesting.
He's my model, basically.
Get out! Holy
when
cow.
When I'm stuck. Well, most of the time, I sort of, as best as I can, I'll just do it from memory.
Uh-huh.
But if I get a bit stuck, like if I need a hand position or a body position that I can't work out, then...
A penis position.
Either, well... There's no evidence of those.
Oh, I see. Alrighty then. Any pets?
Mm-hmm. No pets.
Mm-hmm. Were you a child prodigy? I think you were. I think I read something on one of your site that you were able to draw like out of the womb, which is amazing.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think as far back as I can remember. All I remember doing was drawing. When my brothers were outside playing, I'd be inside drawing. Hmm. And my mum would always be telling me to go outside and play, and I'd be like, no, I'm going to stay inside and draw. So, yeah.
That's kind of amazing, because I tell everybody that has been on my show that I can't draw a straight line. So is it safe to assume that the people around you, when you were a child, recognized the gift and nurtured it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it didn't really take too long for them to realize that I wasn't going to do anything else.
Yeah. Stubborn little brat.
Yeah, that's all you're going to get from me. Drawing. So
make your peace with it.
Yeah, I don't think they had a choice, really. So, yeah, no, they did. They really did nurture it.
Okay. Because several other people who have preceded you on this show have said that their parents were hostile to the idea of them becoming an artist as a career. How about your parents? Were they more accepting?
Yeah, they were very accepting. Like I said, I think they just had accepted that that is what I wanted to do. I think they could clearly see it was the path that I'd chosen for myself, and there wasn't really anything else.
Did you go to college or university or study art somewhere?
Yeah, I did. I went to art college, which I really loved, actually. It was fantastic. I mean, I think looking back, there was no need for me to go. I didn't really gain anything from the experience.
Wow.
in terms of learning new techniques or learning how to make money from it, which is the important thing, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it was still a fantastic experience anyway, and I loved it. So it was great.
So when did the erotic element begin to appear in your work?
I guess it must have been really from puberty, I suppose.
Hormones, don't you know?
Yeah. Well, I used to draw comics for myself.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they were erotic comics. But they were just for me. This was when I was, I don't know, maybe 14 or 15.
Wow.
Yeah, and I used to draw them, keep them for as long as I dared, like maybe a few days hidden, and then I'd get so scared that they'd be found that I'd just throw them away.
So, wow. Yeah. So there's so great somewhere in the amount world, of lost
yeah.
art. Alexander lost art.
Yeah, somewhere in the world.
Oh, my goodness. See, isn't it too bad that, you know, do you remember the storylines and stuff like that?
I can remember one specific one because it involved someone who I was friends with. Who I think I'd secretly wanted to show the comic to, but obviously I never did because I threw it away.
Oh, how great.
Yeah, that was... although, I think because I was sort of just coming to terms with sexuality at the time, mm-hmm. not being gay as such, it was just the whole idea of sex in general. They weren't overly erotic, mm-hmm. but there were erotic elements too. There was a lot of hugging, a lot of kissing.
Yes.
That sort of thing. There was no sort of full-on...
Yeah. Well, until you have some personal experience, it's hard to imagine what goes where exactly, so to speak, as it were. Mm-hmm. So when I love that you create your art using only one name, Alexander, you're just like Madonna and Beyonce and Prince and Bono and Oprah and Jesus in that way, huh? just like them.
Not so much Jesus, no.
No. I love it. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So listen, I'm just noticing that our time is up for today, and I'm so loving this. This is such a joy being in your delightful company. Any chance you could come back next week and join us for more chat?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yay. Good, because I got tons more shit that I want to ask you. So before we go today, would you give us your website address, walk us around a little bit, and tell us where we can buy your work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can buy my comic, Right Half, from Class Comics. And the address for that is www.classcomics.com.
Clever.
There's literally so many other fantastic comics as well, not just mine. So make sure you take a credit card with you and buy them all.
I love it.
What else do you have? I have a Facebook page. It's very G-rated, but it's www.facebook.com/gay.comic.artist.
I'll have a link to that on today's podcast posting.
And Twinkie Toons, which is www.twinkietoons.com. So if you really like Twinks. Mm-hmm.
Great. And you're a Twitter boy, too.
Oh, Twitter, yeah. Oh, I'm so addicted to that.
I think that's how I originally found you. Anyhow.
Well, you can post X-rated images on there. So
I know.
It's great for us, yeah.
Oh, great.
Twitter. It's twitter.com. Alexander Gay Art, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And I'm always happy to say hello to people on there and message people on there.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have a lot on our plate in the interim till next week. So until then, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks, Alexander.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my conversation with Alexander and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack.
You're on sexual health, aren't you? That's ironic.
You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Now, sure, you can learn to last longer by simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice with this puppy, you'll be able to last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. And if you make your purchase by clicking on the Fleshjack banner in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com, a portion of that sale will come back to us as support for these fine shows. Now you can underwrite this important sex-positive effort and jerk off at the same time. How fun is that? Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.